Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Mem Beis. We're going to start from roughly 11-12 lines from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Mei Tashmishoi Shel Nachtoim. This is on tape, so people get confused. Good, anyway, it says, Mei Tashmishoi Shel Nachtoim. This is a quote from the Mishnah. The Mishnah was back on Mem Amid Beis. What is Meitash Misha Shal Nachtam? Nachtam, we know, is a baker. Meitash Misha means his water that he uses. What water does he use? So Rashi back in the Mishnah said, Shemetzanein bo yodav bishoashu orech umekatif es hamatza yishofchu. What does that mean? That when the baker is putting the finishing touches on the matzah, he's shaping it, he's forming it, he's flattening it, making sure that it's all ready for the oven to be baked. So he puts his hands on it and he smears it a little bit. So at that time, he first puts his hands in the water to cool off his hands. The reason why he has to cool off his hands is because since he's working so much with the dough, in terms of kneading it, in terms of touching it or rubbing it, eventually both the dough and his hands become warmer and warmer, which is not good when you're trying to prevent this dough from rising. So therefore, from time to time, he would put his hands into the cold water to cool it off again. Now, that's a wonderful idea, but the problem is there may be little pieces of dough attached to his fingers, to his hands, to his fingernails. They go into the water, and eventually those too will rise, and therefore we'd have a problem of chimut. And that's why you have to pour them out from time to time. How often? Presumably as often as 18 minutes, because that's usually considered to be the maximum amount of time within which we allow the chametz to stand, because it might rise and leaven, the dough to leaven. Says Imar, Tani Choda, in one braisa, we're back on Mem Beis Amid Aleph, 11-12 lines from the top of the Amid. Rabbi Yisai, by the way, this happens to be Shabbos' blot of yesterday. That's what Mendy pointed out to me. We're only learning it today because we didn't have a tape for yesterday, but which I'm going to continue into Mem Gimel, which is today's real blot. Anyway, Tani Choda, in one braisa it says, Shoifim Memokim Madrin. When you pour out this Meitash Mish, go and pour it out on a slanty place, so that it's going to go all the way down. But don't pour it out on a level piece of street or road, floor. And the word ishboyrin specifically, says Rashi, means that in the floor there are clefts and cracks. The Tani Idach and the other Brice says, you are allowed to. Now, what would be the reason why you can't go and pour where there happen to be cracks in the ground? Because those cracks, if you let the water go into those cracks, they might become pools of water, puddles of water. They're going to collect there, and you're not going to have now the chametz problem in your basin. You're going to have the chametz problem on the floor. So what have you accomplished? You've just transferred the problem from one place to the other. So that's why the first braisa says, don't do the mokim mishbarin, do it where it's slanty. So you get rid of the water, don't leave the chametz in your property, on your property. But the second braisa says you can pour b'makom mishbayrin, but if there are cracks and clefts, some of that water might get stuck there. It really depends on how much water we're talking about. If you have this huge basin and you're going to go and pour it out into the clefts and into the cracks, guess what's going to happen? The ground is not going to be able to absorb these huge quantities of water, so you're going to be left with small little puddles here and there in these little clefts in the ground. So you have a chametz problem. However, if there's not that much water, only a little, abyssal of water, only a little bit, so guess what's going to happen? It'll get absorbed, it'll go through the cracks, but into the ground it'll get absorbed, and therefore you don't have to worry about the potential chametz problem. Am Rav Yehuda, Isha loy tolush el b'mok el b'mayim shalonu, says Rav Yehuda, although he's referring to Isha, he's referring really to the nachtoim, the baker. The baker who's kneading the matzah should only use mayim shalonu. What means mayim shalonu? The word lonu here means, comes from the word lina. In Yiddish they say vasev sotach ibiginechtit. That means water that rested overnight. What do you mean that it rested overnight? So Rashi explains that Nisan comes at the very end of the winter season. The winter season, other than David Reese in Florida, All the rest of us know means it's pretty cold during the winter season, and as a result, the outside air is cold. However, the subterranean waters from down below the wells and the natural springs, those typically are much warmer. Where did they get their water from in the good old days? They didn't just go and turn on the faucet, presto, we got water, but they took the water from down below. Those waters would be warm. We already learned earlier you're not supposed to go and knead the dough with poshrin, with warm water. So what we have to do is we have to draw the water that we intend using today for baking the matzahs. We have to draw it already the day before and let that water sit in containers overnight so that it should cool off, so that when you use that water for kneading the dough, it's going to be cool water and not warm water. So that's the simple halacha of the mayim shalanu, that you draw the water the night before. However, the word shalanu can also be understood. Shalanu means that it belongs to us. And therefore, we had a mistake in the town of Papunya. Says the Gemara, Dosher of Masna Papunya. Rav Masna got up in the city, the town of Papunya, and he said, Rabbi Isai, Lamachar, tomorrow, Aisi Kuli Alma Chatzvayu, Dorsher Masna Bipapunya. Rav Masna darshan this halacha Papunya, and he said, Rabbi Isai, I want you to know, whenever you go and prepare your matzahs, you have to have Mayim Shalanu. Now, the Oilam in Papunya didn't understand what he said or what he meant when he said Mayim Shalanu. They thought Mayim Shalanu, not water that had rested overnight in pots and in pans and in containers, but rather our water. And therefore, Lemochan, the next day, Isa Kuli Alma, everybody bought Chatzvayu, their containers, but also Lekabein, they went to Rav Masna and said, Rav Masna, you said that we have to take your waters, Mayim Shalanu. Please give us water. We want to go and bake our matzahs. The Omrulay, and they said to him, Havlan Maya. No, give vasa, give water. Omrulahu, the Rav Masna told the people of Papunya, you misunderstood me. Ano b'may debisu amri. The word debisu means that slept overnight, rested overnight. The word bisu, says Rashi, is the same word as lina, as resting. And so therefore, when I said Mayim Shalanu, I didn't mean our waters, my waters. I meant to say waters that rested overnight, not in the subterranean wells and springs, but rather that had been drawn the night before and were resting overnight in containers. Now, on the surface, this Gemara seems to be a little bit of a pella, because it looks as if we're trying to denigrate the fine citizens of Papunya. We're trying to make them into people like the ancient stories of Chelm. These people, they didn't know what they were doing, ignorant and silly and stupid and imbecile. Did you really mean my waters, your waters? We mean Mayim Shalanu. It's either Avnenezer or the Chadish Arim, says Pshat the Gemara, that the Gemara is trying to dramatize the tremendous emunas chachamim that the people in Papunya had. When they heard that the Rav said, Mayim Shalanu, no problem. Nowadays, if a Rav would say, you have to take my waters, he wants to make a new business, he wants to come up with a new chumrah, he put on a new rabbinical supervision, you want to go and buy now toilet paper for Pesach, it has to have hashgacha on it. You want to go and buy tissues, it has to have hashgacha. Plastic tablecloths, you have to have hashgacha. Not saying that you shouldn't. I'm just saying somebody would go and say, Rav Masna is trying to make some business, and therefore he says, you got to take my water. He'll probably charge for it $2 a container more than the Be'er Mayim seltzers, and he'll make a nice living on it. No. The Rav Yisai, the Oilam had a munas chacham. If Rav Masna said that the Torah requires Mayim Shalanu, no problem. Whatever it costs, we're here. Here are the containers. Please give us Mayim Shalanu. But of course, once again, there was a mistake here in the Lashon Kodesh. It's not really Mayim Shalanu, our water, but Mayim Shalanu, water that rested overnight in containers. Right, Darash Rava. Isha lo tolish b'chama v'loi b'chami chama v'loi b'mayim ha'gerufin min ha'mulyer v'loi tagbiya yodah min ha'tanu at shetigmar eskola pas. What is this all about? Isha again is referring to the nachtoim, the person who's doing the baking. Lo tolish should not knead the dough b'chama outside in the sun, because if it's a sunny day, the sun is going to shine its rays on the dough, on the batter, and it might cause it to leaven, to rise. Also not with waters that sat in the sun, because the waters that sat in the sun themselves could have gotten warm. And Rashi says, and kolshkein, waters that got warm, not only through the sun, but over eish, over fire. For shteitzach, that is even worse. In other words, if you had the water in a hot boiling pot on the flame, then of course that's even worse. For sure not. As well as Valibamayim, I grew from an amulyar. Mulyar is a tremendous chinik. It's like the we have downstairs the hot water heater that we use for coffees and teas and all the rest. Even after you unplug it and you turn it off, and you turn off the fire and the fuel and all that, it still remains hot for quite a long time. And even if you empty it out and you just leave a little bit of water on the bottom, it also remains very, very warm. Rashi says because the bottom of the chayniks in the good old days were made out of copper, and that copper was very thick, and the heat remained in it. It was like an insulator, and the heat remained in it for a long time, even after most of the water had been poured out. So the Mayim Agrufim means the bottom waters that are swept away, that are the final waters left there in the mulyar, don't use those for purposes of kneading the dough, because once again, that could cause leavening of the dough. Now the Lashon HaGemara is a little bit unique. She shouldn't pick her hands up from the tanner, from the oven. What does the oven have to do with anything? So Rashi said, we don't really mean the oven, we mean the batzek, we mean the dough. She should not remove her hands from the dough until she's finally finished. They have that same kapeda today in all the Shmir Matzah bakeries, that somebody's always working with the dough until the final moment. They don't go and just leave it hanging there, but rather, as long as you can, there's the first person who's doing the knating, the kneading, and then he divides it into pieces, and everybody's doing the rolling, and then they immediately take it to the person who perforates it and puts it in the holes, and then they immediately put it on the long stick, and they put it into the oven. So that's what the Gemara is telling us over here, is like Tagbiyah Yonam Etanah, she should not refrain from keeping her hand on the batzik until the final moment, when Tigmas Kalapas, when she's finished with the kneading and the rolling and the perforating the matzahs and then putting it into the oven. So that the lashon of the oven means she should be busy with the batzik until that final moment that you're putting the batzik, the flour, the batter, the dough into the tanner. Now the word is not v'tzorach, utzricha, because we're talking about an isha. Utzricha shnei kelim, and she should have with her two separate basins. Echad shemekatefes boy, v'echad shemetzanenes boy es yodeha. Mekatefes boy means, like we spoke about before, that when they used to go and, I mean, this is far more appropriate if you're talking about a bread or a challah, because when you're doing bread or challah throughout the year, even after you finish braiding it, you still have to go and kind of give it a kvetch over here and a push over there and smooth it out on there, so that when you put it into the oven, when it comes out of the oven, it comes out nice and pretty, you shaped it very well and very beautifully. So by the matzah, there's not that much shaping to do. What you just really have to do is back and forth, up and down, and make sure you have a nice rolled out matzah. But if you want the matzah to be pretty, then you go and try to form it and shape it a little bit. You push in the edges and you smear it and what's the matter. So sometimes to allow for that nice forming, you have to go and add a drop of water at the edges to go and smooth it out into finishing touches. So from one of the basins, she would have the water, shimekatefes boy, that she removes some of that water from time to time to go and smear on top of the matzah to make it nice and pretty, and so it shouldn't be bumpy and this and that. The other one, shimekatefes boy, that's like Rashi had in the Mishnah, that from time to time they would go and put their hands in the cold water to cool the hand off. Because Rashi says, if you don't do that, the hand is constantly warmed up by the constant exertion of energy and touching the batter and the dough and rolling and kneading it. So she needs to have such a basin. So she puts in her hand in the basin as needed for purposes of the kneading. Okay, so those are the two basins. Iboilo. At the beginning of the Braisa, we said, at the beginning of the Halacha, or Doresh Rava, a woman should not use Chama, or Chami Chama, or Mayim from the Mulyar. What happens, says the Gemara, of Rav Loshe Malach? What happens if she did not listen, and she did stand in the hot sun, or she did use water that was heated up by the sun, or water in the bottom of the chayniks? What happens now? Is it kosher or not kosher for Pesach? Is Ma'ariv v'Tu'uma? Marzutra said it's okay. Ravashi. Omar also Ravashi said it's no good. Omar Marzutra. Meanwhile, how do I know that it's okay? It's mutter. We learned the Gemara before. We had this already a couple of times. Ein loisisin asa oirim bepesach. What means loisisin? the raw barleys they used to go and put into water to be able to go and more easily remove the chaff and the other impurities in the raw barley. So the word lesisa means to go and soak it for the purpose of removing the chaff. And then presumably that softens the kernel so that it's more easily, the removal of the chaff is done more easily. Okay, you're not supposed to do that. Why are you not supposed to do that? Because I'm concerned if you leave it there a little bit too long, then the water is going to really penetrate into the barleys, into the kernels of barley, and eventually it's going to cause it to rise to a certain extent, and then it could become chametz. And therefore, says the Braisa, don't do it. The Imli says, what happens if you didn't listen and you did? Then it depends. Nispaku, if you see that little clefts and cracks are starting to develop in these sa'irim, then asurim. As you remember, a couple of days ago, we learned that sa'irim are different than chitim. They are shi'i. Shi means they're nice and smooth, flat. No breaks, no clefts, no cracks, as opposed to the chitim. And so therefore, if you see that nispaku, that they're starting to develop cracks, that means, the water did some water damage in a sense. What's the damage? It's causing the leavening and the rising of the soil. So if that happened, asurim, don't use it for Pesach. Lo nispaku, however, if you left it in a relatively short period of time, and now you examine under a microscope, and you see that lo nispaku, there are no cracks, there are no clefts, there's nothing, it still remained as smooth as it was when you put it into the water initially, then mutarim, because apparently, Baruch Hashem, it did not leaven, it didn't rise, and says good, and says fine. So now, therefore, Mazutra says, just like over there by the Lesisa, there's a din lechatchila ein loisisin, but b'diyeved, it's kosher if loy nisbaku. So they say the same thing over here too. Avad lechatchila isha loy tolish b'chama, but if she did use warm water, or she did stand in the sun, and therefore she did what was prohibited, but after she finished doing the whole batter, we examine it, and we see that it's normal and flat and regular, nothing has risen, there's no leavening, so b'diyeved, it's okay. In other words, based on that same principle of lechatchila don't, but b'diyeved, examine, and you see that it's okay, it's okay. That's what Marzutra said. Ravashi Amar, Otu Kulu Choda Mechita Mechatino. That's an expression, which is, do you think that when you're doing the weaving, you weave always with the same stitch? Anybody that knows anything about weaving, you'll see that there's some bigger stitches and there's some smaller stitches. And there are different stitches. You don't stitch everything together just with one stitch. And says the Gemara, that's the same thing over here. In the case of the lesisa, the chachamim said lechatchila, don't bid the yevet if it's loy nispaku, it's okay. But that doesn't mean that across the board, every time the chachamim made an isur legabe Pesach, that lechatchila don't do it. But bid the yevet, it's okay. Heichad the itmar itmar, heichad lo itmar lo itmar. Where the chachamim said that bid the yevet, it's okay, they said it. But if they didn't say it, they didn't say it. Now you're going to ask, well, Manishtana, why should there be a difference between the case of the Lesisa, where b'diyevet it's okay? Why don't you say the same thing, legabe, the case of the woman that is, or the baker, that is being losh b'chama b'chami chama? So the last Rashi says that the reason is because we're putting a kanas on her. What's the kanas? Because over v'losh b'chamin kroiv l'meizid. We're talking about not at Lesisa. Lesisa is the a very, very early process in after you've harvested the barley. You're trying to go and remove the chaff. You're having a hard time. So you go and soften it up by putting it into some soaking water for a while to be able to soften it and then remove it. Okay, you're not supposed to do that. But the likelihood that it's going to become chametz at that time is far more remote than if you're going and doing now the final finishing touches where you're taking the flour. You're mixing it with water, and you're kneading it, and you're using warm or hot water, that could cause rising and leavening very, very quickly. So it's kar of the mezid. It's kar of the mezid. That's why the chum put on a knas, a penalty, a punitive measure, and they said, don't do it. And if you did it, said Ravashi, it's osur even b'dievet. So therefore we have machloki between Marzutra and Ravashi, what the status would be about a baker that used warm water water from the chama, chami chama, from the mulyer, etc. But the evid is a kosher or zanat.
Is kanas always financial?
Typically financial. Yes.
There's a financial loss here because the dough is now worthless.
Right.
Hanlach kosher, hanlach kosher, hanlach kosher, and we start a brand new perek. Shkoyach to all of us for Baruch Hashem. We get through kosher, beautiful perek. On to the next perek. V'elu oivrim bepesach. The following your oiver bepesach. What does it mean, oiver? We'll examine that word in another moment or two. But first, let's see what the Mishnah lists. It lists seven separate items, all of which contain a certain amount of chametz. We started with kutach habavli. That's the Babylonian milchig dip, similar to a yogurt, where you have in it milchigs, and you also have in it pieces of bread. And as we'll see, they also put in some melach, some salt. We'll talk about it shortly in the Gemara. It had three main ingredients. And Sheikhar Modai, that's Sheikhar beer that came from Modai. Modai, as we know, features very prominently in the Megillah, Chel Porasu Modai. So this came from a place called Modai.
Gidin Gittin also.
Gittin, you know, what's it?
Shabbat Kuz Bamadai.
Ah, very good. Very beautiful. Good. Beautiful. Shkoyach. The Choymitz Adoimi. Choymitz is vinegar that comes from Edoim. Zeisim HaMitzri. Zeisim, we'll see in the Gemara, is a mashke, a beverage, which comes from Mitzrayim, from Egypt. The Zoyman Shel Tzaboim, this is a type of paint, good, or a dye that was used by dyers in dyeing skins of the animals. V'amelim Shel Tabachim, this is the type of things that were used by cooks at the top of the pots to go and absorb the schmutz when you're cooking. We'll see about it more. But Kolin Shel Sofrim is a paste that was used by the scribes when they were putting together their svarim when they were writing. Reb Lezer, Oymer Aftach Shita Noshim, throw into the mix also women's cosmetics. What's the general rule? Why are we isolating and enumerating these particular items? Says the Mishnah. I'll tell you why. Zerklal, I'll tell you the general rule. Kol Shehumi Min Dagon, anything that has its... It's a derivative of dagon, of one of the five minim of grain that we had previously, the chitim, sa'irim, etc. Hari za'ivu b'pesach, you're over on Pesach, naturally. Hari eilu b'azhora, but in the cases that we just enumerated, there's only a din of an azhora, which means a lav. The ein remishim kares, but there's no din of kares. Now, normally when you eat chatz v'sholem chometz on Pesach, ki kol oichel chometz v'nichrisa, ki kol oichel machmetz v'nichrisa. The Torah says very clearly, if you go and eat chometz on Pesach, there's a din of kares. Why are these different? So we'll see in the Mechem the Gemara on Mem Gimel Amid Aleph that there are seven which we enumerated in the Reisha. The first four are all chametz gomor al yedei taroivis. Taroivis means that it wasn't the end, that you looked at the chametz in the eye, but it was mixed into another product. The kutach habavli, I don't see the chametz. It's all mixed into this mixture of this milchi dip. Certainly in the case of the beer, you don't see any chametz. Choymetz adoimi, the vinegar, you don't see any chametz. Zeisa mitzri is also a beverage. It's very similar in concept to the modern day liquors that have in them some chametz derivative. They come from grains. Okay, I don't see the grain, I don't see the bread, but nevertheless, it's chametz. But since it's chametz al yedei taruvis, it's not be'en, you don't see the chametz. It's all mixed in together with other ingredients. That's called chametz taruvis. Our Mishnah tells us that there's only a din of a lav, for which you're going to get 39 pech. It's not going to be pleasant. But there is no din of kares. Those are the first four. The final three, the zoymen shel tzavoyim, the dyers, the amelin shel tabachim, used by the cooks and used by the scribes, those three have a din of what we call chametz noiksha. Chametz noiksha means it is not normal, regular, edible chametz. It's very inferior type of chametz. Hard, difficult to eat, difficult to chew. And specifically because these three are really not meant to be eaten. This is meant for dyeing. This is meant for absorbing all the schmutz at the top of the pot. And this is meant as a paste to use as a glue. So these are not really intended at all for eating. The first four are foods, either a kutach, a dip, or the other three are beverages. However, these are not intended at all for eating, but they are chametz. So it's called chametz naksha. So on these two categories, says our Mishnah, say the teruvis category, and say the noiksha category, these are considered to be not triple A chametz, only triple B or triple C, and therefore there's only a lav. There's no din of kars.
Is there malchus with ashara?
Yes, ashara means that there's malchus. Now, when it says in the Mishnah Veda, oivrim bepesach, what does oivrim bepesach mean? So, parshat pshat says Rashi, you're going to be oiver. What are you going to be oiver? Oiver means that you have violated a rule. What rule have you violated? Says Rashi, you'll be oiver bal yirah bal yimatzeh. If you leave in your home throughout Yom Tov, and you didn't sell it, and you didn't say kol chamira v'chamia, but you leave there all the liquors. I mean, many of us keep our liquors over Yom Tov. However, we sell it. It's part of the shtar mechira when you're selling it to the goy through the under the auspices of the Rav. Okay, that's fine. But what happens if you retain all the liquors throughout the year that you have throughout the year? You leave it for chametz for Pesach without selling them. Ooh, then you oiver bal yirah bal yimatzeh. Even if you're not looking at them, they happen to be closed away in the cabinet, in the vitrine, in the closet. It makes no difference. If you have it within your rishus and you didn't sell it, and you didn't say kol chamira, you're oiver bal yirah. So that's the eilo oivrim, you oiver bal yirah bal yimatzeh. Toises brings that pshat and says, I have another pshat, which is almost the same, that the Rivas says that these ve'elu oivrim, that if Rashi were correct, it should say ve'elu oivrim aleihem bepesach. On the following, we are oiver, we violate hilchis pesach by having them in our rishus. Our rishus means in our possession. Aha. That would be ve'elu oivrim aleihem. Remember, the fact that it doesn't say aleihem, then the word oivrim is like the word to be ma'avir. Ma'avir means to get rid of, to go and remove from your rishus. And therefore, ve'elu oivrim pesach, if you have these items, you open up the refrigerator, Pesach morning, and you see that there's still a yogurt there in the corner of the refrigerator, get it out! That is a chometz stick of yogurt. Get rid of it. You got to be over. You have to be maverit. You have to remove it. That's the second pshat, which is almost the same. They're both based on the concept of bayirah bayimatzah. But then Toises gives a third pshat on his own. Rabbi Natam says, we're not talking about bayirah. There is no bayirah bayimatzah on taruvis chometz, nor on chometz noikshah. What our Mishnah is referring to, a person who eats from these items. If you were to eat from the kutach habavi, the sheikhar amadai, eating including drinking, etc., and all of these, you're over the iser of achila. And that's what the Mishnah says at the end. They are called koshim and dogan. If you were to eat from it, asharim mit malkis, but no karis. So if you look at the first toises in our perek, second toises here in the Amid, pirishakul jislavar leim bayiro bayimot, the gambriva medaktik miloshin oivrim. That it doesn't say oivrim aleihem, to mashma oivrim min ha'olam. You gotta remove it from the world. You get rid of it. Then skip to the end of Tosis, the near Labein Tam, the last three lines. To elo oivrim pirish, not hu oichlin, but hu oichlon. That's the gears of the Bach. Hu oichlon, a person who were to eat from those. For oivrim hainu me ala shulchan. The word oivrim in our Mishnah means remove it from the table. Why should you move from the table? Because you're not allowed to eat them. So remove them. So Rivas Pshat and the Rabbeinu Tam's Pshat are similar, that the oivrim doesn't mean that you're violating the rules, that you're oivr on the Isur, but it means to remove. According to Rivas, remove it from the world. In other words, get it out of your Rishos, throw it out, burn it, just get it out of here. It's not by your own, by your Matzeh. Mashen kinikut to Rabbeinu Tam. There's no bayiro bayimatzeh, but you're not allowed to eat it. So get it off the table and put it back wherever you took it from. Good. On to the Gemara. Since we started talking about the Kutach HaBavli, if we first go over a little bit into Ashtikel Agada, Agadic type of Gemaras. Tana Rabbanon, Shleisha Devar Nemorim, the Kutach HaBavli. Kutach HaBavli is not something which is healthy, because number one, it's metamtim mesaleif, it clogs up the artery of the heart. Umesamias anayim, chas v'shalom, could cause blindness. Umachish esaguf, it can cause the body to go and lose koyach, to lose its strength. Why? Says the Gemara, because of the three major ingredients. Metamtim mesaleif mishum nesiuvi dechalba. Nesiuvi dechalba means, in fancy English, this is called whey, W-H-E-Y, which is a byproduct of the manufacturer of cheese, when you take milk and you put in it something to cause it to coagulate, then often on the bottom of the kli, of the vessel, you'll find left over some water. It's not really water, it's watery milk. Very, very, it's a diluted type of milk, which is very, very thin. Okay, anyway, that Siva Dechalav is called whey. Of course, it's milchix. And they put that, that's one of the major ingredients in the Kutzach HaBavli. And that clogs the heart. Nowadays, they would say that that is cholesterol. The cholesterol attaches to the sides of the arteries and causes sclerosis, arterio, and all those wonderful things. Anyway, that's the clogging of the heart. Because they put in salt, but not any salt. Rather, they put in melech sedoimis. Melech sedoimis, melech that comes from sedoim, is considered to be a melech which is so potent that chas v'shalom, if a person puts his finger into the salt, and then puts his fingers into his eyes, chalila v'chas, that could cause blindness. And that's in fact what the Gemara says, why we use mayim achrayim. Someone who had melech sedoimis, we're worried about that, use mayim achrayim to get that salt off your fingers. And even if you just put regular salt in the street, in the shuk, in the market, very often part of that salt might have in it some particles of melech sedoimis. In other words, the salt manufacturers, they might bring in salt from different corners of the earth, they mix it all together. Tara shava is that they're all salt, but there might be some melech sedoimis. So that's why we have the mayim achrayim, and they use specially melech sedoimis in the kutach, so therefore chas v'shalom, it could cause blindness. What's my kumnisa du'uma, says Rashi? Because of the bread particles, the crumbs that you put into this kutach, after a while they become moldy, and that moldy bread afterwards, and you consume it, that goes and attacks the parts of the body where the body says, I don't want mold. Mold is not healthy. Get it out of here. So that causes the disruption in the body functions, and that's why it's makhish es haguf. There are three things that cause a lot of tzoa, a lot of waste in the body that the body has to exit. The koifin is a koima. Literally, koifin is koima means to cause the posture to start bending over. A person doesn't stand erect, but stands with a bad back. However, Rashi says what the Mara means to say is matishin kocho. It really means that it causes a person to lose strength. And it takes away 1/500 from the person's vision. A person has a vision of 1,000. This takes away 1/500 of that 1,000. You figure out the percentages. One of those three things, paskibar. Paskibar is very coarse bread. It's not just simply whole wheat bread, but it's also with a very coarse flour that you didn't remove the impurities. Uvisheicher chodosh, brand new beer, the yerek chai, and raw vegetables. Now, the raw vegetables don't mean everybody today eats salad, and that's considered to be very healthy. We're not talking about eating tomatoes and cucumbers. Here with the yerek chai that we're talking about is very, very hard vegetables, such as kreishin, which are leeks, betzalim are onions, and chazeren, from the word chazeres, which is referring to radishes. If you eat a lot of hard onions and radishes and leeks on a frequent basis, that could be injurious to your health. However, those three were mar bezevel and makish esaguf, and they were noitlen koifin esakoyma, and they took away 1/500. But the three antidotes, they cause it to be less waste. In other words, the food that you're eating is so nutritious that the body goes and uses 90% of it, and therefore the amount of zevel is very, very small. The zoikin is a koyman, they reinvigorate the person. And it restores the eyesight. Eilehin, what are those? Pasnikia, Bosir Shomain, the Yayin Yoshin. And the Gemara explains each one. Pasnikia is dismida, that you had very fine flour that you used in your bread. Bosir Shomain is the Tzvirta Deloy Iftach. Now, when you see the word Tzvirta, most of us are thinking, oh, that's probably referring to a bird, like eating chicken or something like that. And that, in fact, is one of the Pshatim of Rabbeinu Chanan. However, Rashi on the top says we're referring to Eiz Shloyolda. We're talking about a goat, a she-goat that never gave birth yet. The word le'eftach means that there was no pesach harechem, there was no opening of the womb, because it didn't have to eject from its body any newborn, because there were no newborns. So this is obviously a very young she-goat that has never been impregnated yet, and therefore is not giving birth. So it's presumably very, very lean, and even though the Gemara refers to it as basa shamayin, still this happens to be very, very healthy. Young goat's meat is healthy. Finally, yayin yoshin. Yayin yoshin, we probably think, oh, it's got to be for the time of King Henry or King Louis, whatever. No. Atikatiki. Atikatiki, says Rashi, means it's 3 years old. How do you get to 3 years old? This year that we are in, this is this year. Last year was a year before, and then the year before that, that's 3 years altogether. Atik means last year, Atiki means the year before, so you have altogether 3 years. It's like you have the Gemara on the Pasuk, Mitmol Shulshan. Mitmol is yesterday, Shulshan is the day before. Atik is last year, Tiki is from the year before that. So you got 3 years altogether. That's Yayin Yoshin, Toshu Zeh Gishmak. And in fact, the Gemara tells us, Kol Nili Demali Lahai, Kosher Lahai. Typically, foods and medications, what's good for one part of the body, very often is not so good for another part of the body. Rashi says, certain things that you eat might be good for the heart, but they're not good for the eyes, or perhaps not for some of the other limbs or arteries or veins or other parts of the body. So those things which are good for this are bad for that. Dukash lahai, what's bad for this, and malahai is good for this. Var, but there is a list of things which are universally and generically good. Parmesan gavila retiva, that's fresh ginger. Upilpili arichta, long peppers. Pasnakia, which we just had, that's the bread that's made out of really fine, refined flour. Basa shamein, that's what we had from the goat. And the yayin yoshin, the malik kulik, over that's good for all ailments, good for all parts of the body. These are universally good at all times. His givaldik, givaldik. There's a famous Rambam that everybody knows that you cannot rely on any of these things that are written in the Gemara, because the constitution of people has changed over the years, and so therefore many things which many, many years ago could have been very nutritious and very nourishing and all the rest, that might not be the case today, and vice versa. Because over time, as a result of the different countries, different cultures, different diets that people have over the years, things may have changed, so you cannot rely. But Zokimar, we said weiter in the Mishnah, we spoke about the Kutach HaBavli at some length. Now we go over to the Sheikhar HaModai. Sheikhar HaModai, what's the problem? Right, so we have four food items over here that are awesome because they're taroidis. Taroidis means there's a mixture of chametz and other ingredients. The Kutach HaBavli had in it the whey and the salt together with the crumbs of bread. So that's clearly, that's chametz, but it's taroidis. It's a mixture. Here, Sheikhar HaModai, this is the beer that comes from Madai. Normally, beer that were made in the good old days were made from tamarim, from dates. In the Jewish communities where people used to live, typically it was date beer. However, in Madai, they made it out of meisari. Meisari means barley water. Presumably they took the barley, let it soak, or they cooked it, and then they took that water, the barley water, and they put it into some other thing. They made a beverage out of beer. Teruma beid meisari. So therefore, it's chametz, but again, it's teruvah's chametz. B'choy mitzvah doimi. Choy mitzvah doimi is referring to the vinegar in edvin. Says Igmar the same thing. The shodu beisari, because they throw inside. Now, as we'll see, it's not because, okay, the chometz that our Gemara is talking about is vinegar that was originally wine. Wine that spoils and becomes sour. Today they go and say that it's dry wine and then it commands high prices. But in the good old days they understood that sour wine is sour wine and it's chometz and it's vinegar and it's undrinkable. So,
of course, balsamic vinegar.
I'm sorry?
Balsamic vinegar.
Balsamic vinegar. Oh, balsamic vinegar.
Made from wine.
Made from wine. Oh, very good. Shkoyach, Reb Shloimeh. Thank you for sharing that. So, the Gemara now tells us a little bit of history, and the history, unfortunately, is quite sad indeed. Says the Omer of Nachman, Betchilu kishohoye meviyin nisachem miyehuda lo yehoye yenam shal Yehuda machmitz. Normally, universally, all wines throughout the world, if you let the wines stand for an extended period of time, then it will become sour. You got to go and drink it in a timely fashion. I'm not saying the wine that you are letting to ferment inside casks, that could stay for a long period of time. But after you take them out of the casks and you put them into the bottles, or once they're being sold in the marketplace, if you don't drink them soon, for any of you that ever open up your bottles from last year's Shlachmunis, you open up 6 months later and you open it and you say, yeah, it doesn't smell good anymore, it's already sour, no, etc. Okay, but in the good old days in Yehuda, they used to go and take the wine from the vineyards of Yehuda, and they used to supply the Beis HaMikdash with Nisach HaYayin on a daily basis. And you had to have good wine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a special bracha that in all the wines that were produced in Yehuda, they never soured. Even 50 or 100 years later, they tasted the same. They were as pure and as givaldic as they were on the first day. Zed Ram Nachman, Betchila in the beginning, when they brought the Niske Hayayin from Yehuda, those are the wine libations they put on the altar on the Mizbeach. It was a special bracha, says Rashi. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave into that wine, it never got sour. What happens? But I need vinegar. I can't eat my salad without vinegar and balsamic dressing. That's the dressing that we heard from a moment ago from our good friend Reb Shloimeh. So the balsamic oil, vinegar, it needed to be wine-based. What are we going to do? So you had to go and bring in a foreign ingredient, barley, put the barley in. Oh, once you put the barley in, then it became sour, it became vinegar. That was the name that they gave it, stam vinegar. Everybody knew stam vinegar means it was originally wine. You put in the barley, no good. Now that was in the good old days. The Ash of today, meaning after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, we unfortunately lost that bracha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu transferred the bracha from Klal Yisrael to Edoim, to the Einiklach of Esav HaRosha. They have the same patent that it remained fine, the wine stayed great until you put the tzoirim in, you put in the barley. The that's the chaymet tzadoimi of our Mishnah, that we're identifying the chaymet tzadoimi by the fact that they put in the barley, as opposed to the chaymet ha-Yehudi or ha-Yisraeli, which unfortunately was sour wine, wine that got sour. So wine that got sour doesn't become chomet, it only becomes vinegar when you put the barley in the case of the Edomites. So nowadays, the Gemara is saying, nowadays in the times of the Gemara, since the wine in Yehuda, the wines of Klal Yisrael, unfortunately get chomet on their own, even without adding any barley, so they might be perfectly permissible for Yontif. It's taka vinegar, but it's wine vinegar. There's no grain in it. However, if you were to purchase the chaymet zoedoimi, that's the problem, because there it's pure wine. It doesn't get sour naturally. You have to put the barley in. That's why it's a trugas chametz. Mention our Mishnah.
The chametz natural.
Let's just finish the thought. The kain mashet nemar, to fulfill what it says in the pasuk. First, we quote a pasuk from Nach, a pasuk in Yecheskel, imola hecharova, or. We have another pasuk, lo'oyim lo'oyim yamat. Rashi brings in both in Chumash. The Molech HaRova means that the Malchus of Klal Yisrael and the Malchus of Edoim will never be on the same level. One will be ascending and the other will be unfortunately descending. And therefore, in Molezu, Chorvezu. If Edoim is at its height, we have the Royal Roman Empire, the Great Roman Empire, the Edomites are really with all of their strength. Oh, that means that Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, is Chorv. That Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael is totally Chorv, desolate, Agamza Chorv. The Amalei Zuhav, however, if it's the other way around, that we find in Klal Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, we are ascending in power and in influence, Chorv is a simon that the Edomites are falling in their power and influence. And therefore, although that's talking about more in terms of militarily, and in terms of prominence in the world, here we're now referring to the wine. That if the wine of Klal Yisrael is Malaya, it's good wine, then the wines of the Edomites is Shvacha wine. However, if the Edomites' wine is Malaya, if it's great, if it's wonderful, that means that our wines are Shvacha. We have the same pasuk, the same concept in the Torah. You don't have to bring from Nach, from Yecheskel. You have the same pasuk, Legabe, the Birchois, the brachas that Yitzchak Avinu was giving to Yaakov and to Esav, and he said, "Ule'oim le'oim yemot v'rav yavoy tzoir." Ule'oim le'oim yemot. The word le'oim means nation. One nation will always be stronger than the other nation. So, if Klal Yisrael is at its strength, then Edom is down below. We are the vanquisher, and they are the vanquishee. But unfortunately, there will be times in our history that it's the other way around, that they are the vanquishers and we will be the vanquishees, and therefore the same thing applies to the wines. And Barry had a question.
No, never mind.
No, why don't you have a question? You ought to raise a question.
No, it's okay.
Okay. My friend Fred Ehrman sent me an email, maybe I'll share it with all of you, saying on this plot, saying that since we see today that Baruch Hashem there has been a brand new wine industry in Eretz Yisrael, where the wines are so good that they're being sold internationally and winning great international awards for their purity and for their fineness, this is hopefully yet another sign that of the Ikvas and the Mashiach, that Mashiach is just around the corner. We're soon going to use those wines for the Nisach HaYayin on the Mizbeach. No, the Karim Mamash. Continuing on, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Meihalcha. We just said that. Okay, Tanya Rav Yehuda. The Yehuda Marishoyin Halakiach Chayim Mitzmiyam Aret and Yitzchak LaAsim Neisha Chazok Ein Abay Element HaTemed. What is this all about? There's something known as temed. Temed means a very, very inferior wine that is manufactured and processed not from the grapes themselves, but rather either from grape seeds or from the sediment at the bottom of the casks and the bottles of wine. When you take the grape seeds and you let them soak in water, so a little tam of the wine comes out into that water. Or if you mix the sediments that you find, the lees or the dregs at the bottom of the casks, the bottom of the bottles, you take those out, you mix it with water, then the water that you're going to have is going to be called temed. Very, very inferior wine. Okay, so now says Yimar, time. I'm Rav Yehuda ben Yehuda. Ben Yehuda. In Yehuda of Eretz Yisrael, Barishon, and initially Halakech Chaimitz Me'am Aretz. If you wanted to go and buy Chaimitz from an Am Aretz, normally you have a problem of Dema, you have to go and give Meiser. And the Tzorch La'asa, you don't have to give Meiser. Nisha Chazok Ein Ba Ela Min Ha Temed. Aha. So in other words, Barishon, remember we just said a moment ago that the wines typically did not become vinegary because there was a special bracha b'rishayna in the wines of Yehuda. If you wanted to go and get vinegar, you had to go and take the wine, you had to go and put in the barley to go and cause it to become sour. But there's another way of getting chaymetz, and that is to go and use temet. Temet is very inferior wine, just made from the grape seeds or made from the sediment. It's almost like a grape Kool-Aid, if you will. Just like today, you can go and buy grape flavored seltzer. So that's not wine. Everybody, of course, it's all artificial anyway. But even if it was real live grapes that you put in a little tom inside the water inside the seltzer, you wouldn't make a biopreg off it because it's just water. It's seltzer. It has a little tom. Same thing. The temet over here was a very timid form of wine. So if you bought chaymetz from the Am Aretz and this chaymetz was temed based, not based on putting the se'orim into fine wine, but taking the temed and letting it stand and become sour, you don't have to give ma'aser. The chazaka, that chaymetz, that vinegar, you know for a fact that it came from the temed. And therefore the Gemara at this point assumes that temed is so inferior, it's so watery, that it's not even mechuyev b'maisers. After all, if I have bottles of water, do I have to go and give meiser from them? Of course not. You only give meiser from something which grows from the ground or grows from trees, etc. So yeah, there's a drop of tam here, perhaps a little tam, tastes a little bit like, well, this is goodish. Therefore, you're potter from giving meiser. So you bought it from the Amoret, normally halach of demai, no halach of demai goodish. The Ashavin today, where unfortunately the wines in Yehuda unfortunately no longer have that bracha. This used to be real live wine, which was very expensive and very superior. But unfortunately, it got sour. Ah, and how did it get sour? Because it soured over time, we no longer have that bracha. But since it's wine based, the Amoritz didn't go and give any meiser. I gotta go and give meiser. That's as we stated in the price. Pray to Gemara. The Sabra of Yehuda, this price was said by Rabbi Yehuda, right? Tanya, Omer of Yehuda, etc. Pray to Gemara, the Sabra of Yehuda, Temed La Bar Yisrihu. Rabbi Yehuda said in the beginning of the price that if the Choymetz came from Temed, it is so inferior, you don't have to give Meiser. Pray to Gemara, Vatanya, or maybe it says Vatanan on the side. Vatanan, Hamishna. Hamitamed. Hamitamed means a person who's making Temed. Venosa Maim Vemida, and he put in water in a certain measure. Umatakadei midasai. He took, for instance, the seeds or the sediment, added to it a gallon of water, let it stand, let it soak for, let's say, for a week. A week later, he takes away the water and has the exact same amount, that same gallon, no more nor less. Potter, says the Tanakama, you're potter from giving trumas and maizus, because it's obvious you put in a gallon of water and you took out a gallon of water. Okay, there might be a slight little grape tam to it, a grape flavor. This is goodish. Zero pot. But Dina Machai, you said, oh, no, this is wine. It's not triple A wine, it's maybe triple Z wine, but it's wine, and therefore you have to go give trumas and maizus. One second, didn't Rabbi Yehuda say a moment ago that Brishoina, if you took choymitz from Hamaret, you don't have to give maizer because it's chazok in a boel min ha-temet. Who cares? It's fine, it comes from temet, but Rabbi Yehuda is machayiv from temet. It's a chastir Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. Everything mara ibo yaseim and nech shudu. V'loi kasha. I'm sorry, I skipped a line. I'm sorry. Haki karma. Loi nech shudu ha-me'oret al ha-temet. What does that mean? We go back to the original Brisa. When the original Brisa said that if you buy choymitz from ha-me'oret, you don't have to give ma'isris because it came from temet, you know why you don't have to give ma'isris? Because since it is so inferior, it is so inexpensive, the ha-me'oret can proudly say, I'm going to be a bright and mechitin, I'm going to be a God-fearing Jew, and I'm going to give ma'isris. After all, if you're giving it from nice bottles of wine, bottle of wine costs $10, $20, or whatever, to go and give maisa from wine, that's an expensive undertaking. However, if you're buying temet, you can get temet three bottles for a dollar, or three for 99 cents or something, they're very cheap. So to go and give a maisa, how much am I going to lose from that? Hakleinikait. So therefore the Amoritz are more than happy to go and give maisa, and then go and get a nice hashgacha from all the chief rabbis to give maisa, because the amount of overhead is so de minimis, he doesn't mind. So that's why it says that you don't have to go and give ma'aser. You know why? Mitzvah chazaka that came from temet, and there's a chazaka that the amoritz gave because it's so cheap. But ibo yisei menech shudu, know the ar chashud for lekasha ha b'derafka ha b'deportzani. It depends what the base of this temet is. Is it made from ravka? Ravka means from sediment, from the lees or dregs which are in the bottom of the barrels or the tops, or the portzani. Portzani means from seeds. And Rashi says that if it's made from seeds, it's really going to be very, very poor. In fact, it's going to be the pits. That wine at temet is gurnished, and therefore says the Gemara that you do not have to go and give Meister from that. It's such a poor quality wine. It's just basically colored Kool-Aid, colored water, goodish. However, if you put in the ravka, the sediment, the lees, look, in that sediment, very often there's still some remaining residue of wine. Obviously, it's not geschmack, it's that sediment on the bottom, but there's still some wine in it. And says Rabbi Yehuda, even though you added a gallon and you took out a gallon, it's like we have by the mikvahs, nosen tzav v'notel tzav, which means that you put in a gallon, but some of that gallon might be from the remaining residue of wine that was in the sediment, and we left behind a little bit of the fresh water. So there was an exchange. The real wine that was in the sediment came into the gallon, and some of the water that was in the gallon remained there in the sediment. So therefore, it is wine. Says Rabbi Yehuda, therefore you have to go and give trumas and maaser from that wine. So it depends again on the quality of the temet. Is the temet from pits? Then it's the pits. If it's made from the sediment, then it's achpsiyoch choshev a wine. It's inferior, true, but it's wine enough that you have to go and give trumas and maaser and stop whining. You got to go and pay.
Did we learn from this also?
You like that? I know you like that. Yeah.
That there are other food matters that if they're sort of not A quality, but there's Z quality that we also don't have to get trusted.
You are absolutely right. In fact, if you look in Seder's Roim and you look in Mesechtes Trumas, Mesechtes Maisrus, and Mesechtes Demai, especially Mesechtes Demai, they're all Mishnayos full of things which are so inferior in terms of the fruit or in terms of the crops, that the luchas you don't have to give trumas and maizes, because most people don't even eat from it. They give it to their dogs, or they just leave it on the vine or leave it on the tree. They don't even bother with it. And if you have a person who markets these things, they are so inexpensive that the amoritz Ken Bestein, he doesn't mind being a good Jew and giving Trumas and Mises because it's really pennies. It doesn't mean anything. So there is halachic precedent to it, not only in our case. Barry, I see you have that look of consternation.
I'm trying to formulate an intelligent question. And also, we're short on time today.
Every question that you formulate is always intelligent. It's a chazaka.
I'll hold it to the end.
Okay. So, we have now concluded the four items, which we said in the Mishnah are all cases of taruvus. No, we haven't finished. We only got three. We got more and more. Zeisim and Mitzri. Zeisim is an Egyptian potion, an Egyptian beverage. What is that? Ton Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef told us. Remember Rav Yosef. Remember that. Tiltzasari. A third. There were three ingredients. One third is soyrim, that's barley. Tiltzakortim. One third is saffron, which is some sort of spice. But tiltzamilcha. And one third is salt. You mix those three together and you get the Zeisim and Mitzri.
Saffron is a very expensive spice.
Okay, good. Rapapa mapik sari ma'ayil chiti. Rapapa says, I agree with the Rav Yosef, except for one ingredient. Take out the sari, take out the soyrim, and instead put in chitim. It wasn't made out of barley, it was made out of wheat. Okay, so now we have machlekes Rav Yosef and Rapapa. Zeisim and Mitzri, is it barley based or is it wheat based? What happens if you're walking down the street and someone says to you, can you tell me, is there this store open on Broadway? Okay, you tell him. Then somebody else says, remind me, is Zeisim and Mitzri, is that made out of barley, is made out of wheat? It's a machlek, it's a biyasar papa. Who says what? Come on. I can't remember that. One said barley, one said wheat. How can I remember it? Says him, I'll give you an easy way of remembering. The simonach, the simon is Sisni. Sisni is the name of a container that they used to use in the good old days. Notice Sisni has two samachs. Rav Yosef's name has a samach. The word sari, although it's spelled with a sin, it has a samach sound to it. So that's a very sound sign, mnemonic way of remembering that it was Rav Yosef that said sari and not Rav Papa, because Rav Papa doesn't have any samachs in it. And so therefore, Sisni tells you, so somebody stops you in the street, tell me, who's the one that said Zeisim and Mitzri, it was barley based and not wheat base, you'll immediately pop up, that was Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef and Sari are both samachs, Sisni. Very good. Okay, now how did you produce this beverage? You couldn't just go and put it into a glass, you put in some barley or wheat, and you added some saffron, and you added some salt, and you start drinking. It doesn't work like that. So Torluhu, first you have to go and soak them together. The Koluhu, and then you have to go and roast them or toast them. The Tochluhu, and then you have to grind them. The Shosluhu, and then you can go and drink it. Now, just to give you an idea of why people would go and drink the Egyptian Zeisim, because Midivcha, Divcha stands for the word Zebach, because Zayin and Dalit are Mischalev, they're exchangeable or interchangeable, Zayin from Hebrew to Aramaic, the Dalit. Divcha therefore means mizevach, and we're referring specifically to the zevach Pesach, which means from Yom Tov for Pesach, ve'ad atzar to until Shavuos. To comment, a person who's suffering from constipation, marpilate, drink Zeisim HaMitzri, and that will unclog the intestines and the stomach, and will do a good job of removing the constipated matter. And the other way around, Udarafi, someone who has a problem of diarrhea, that things are flowing too easily, Makamitle or Makmitle, he drinks that, and that's a good idea to cause the person to, not to constipate him, but to stop the diarrhea. L'choylul isha ubra sakanta, but a person who's chas v'shalom sick, or a woman that's muberes, should not take this beverage, because it says you're such a good job of releasing stuff in the body, it might release prematurely, over, and chas v'shalom, she might suffer a miscarriage. So, be careful when you drink the Zeisim Mitzri, and if you men, if you ever happen to be pregnant, be careful, don't drink the Zeisim Mitzri. I keep on getting these government forms they have to fill out whenever I get a shot, am I pregnant or not? I refuse to answer. They won't give me the shot. Okay, anyway, getting back to Agamah. So we have now the four different beverages, or four different items, taruvit. We started off with the milchigya dip, then we got the three, the median beer, we had the Edomite vinegar, and we had the Egyptian zeisim. Those are all taruvus chametz. Now we have three others, which are chametz noiksha, which means it's inferior form chametz, and in fact, it's normally not edible. You don't use it for eating. Zoyma shel tzibon, this is used for dyeing. Ha'ocha teryimo, here they translated, Zoyma shel tzibon, maya de chivri, de tzava behu liba, on the side there's another girsa, laka. So I have in my Gemara's Maseres Hashas, it's ois tes. Other Gemara's have different oisias, but if you see on ois tes, Maseres Hashas, but five lines before the end, laka, kenu bapirish mishnayis, upirish rashi, peribet chulin, laka tseva oir, edoim, that used to go and take skins, and they would go and dye them red. So they had at the end one of the famous baseball teams, or basketball teams, or fight fish, the Redskins. They had Redskins. Okay, Redskins. I'm not sure whether they play with the Knicks or the Yankees, but one of the famous teams, the Redskins. Good. So those are the Zoymin Shel Tzabai. Amelin Shel Tabachim. What is that? Pas Tvua Shlehevia Shlish. They would go make bread out of Tvua, which did not ripen. They cut it and harvested it after one third of the growth, or even before one third. So therefore, it's obviously very poor bread. Shemnicha pikdei, they would put at the top of the pots. Shemishev sazayim, and we get the schmutz that came at the top of the pots. If you've ever seen when the women go and cook, for instance, chicken soup, usually at the end of the soup, there's always stuff on top. So a lot of people today, they remove it with a spoon, or they go and take shom, oh, the foam at the top. They remove it, sometimes they put in paper towels, or they remove it with a spoon, or whatever. So they would remove it by using this pas tvua, shalvei shlish. That was called the menu shel tabach. It wasn't for eating. Nobody ate this. It was not edible.
Shom on the range.
Shom on the range. Oh, good. The koilin shel safran. That's a paste that was used by the scribes. Hocha tirguma. Here we translated it. Perura, a paste used by the ushkafi. Ushkafi are the shoemakers. Rav Simi Mechozno Omar Zetipulan Shel Benois Hashim Shemesharis Oysen Benois Aniyah. Now both of them agree that we're talking about a paste. The paste of the shoemakers is because if you look or think about your shoes, there's the upper part and there's the bottom part. What keeps them together? Some sort of glue that glues them together, and that was the Koilin Shel Safran that they used to use. Another definition is that this was a hair depilatory. Depilatory means an agent that you use to remove hair. Exactly. Many of you may remember Mishi, exactly. The good old days before people started using the machines, shaving machines, the shavers. Then they used to go and put this Mishi on the face. It had a terrible, terrible stench.
Was it a cream?
It was not a cream, it was a paste. You would mix it together with water and you put it on your face. You leave it there for 10 minutes. If you left it for 1 minute too long, it burned, and it was terrible. And you could smell it from here to Canarsie. But anyway, so something more that's similarly, they had these tipulin shel b'nei sashirim, shemisharis oisel b'nei saniyim. The b'nei sashirim used to have fancy schmancy hair depilatories, as opposed to b'nei saniyim. We'll see Mechem shortly on the Amud Aleph. Since b'nei saniyim were poor, they used to go and use lime. However, the b'nei ashirim, they would go and use solace. They would go and use a depilatory that was based on very fine flour. So when they had a little bit left at the bottom of the container, they would give it to their friends b'nei saniyim and say, here, why don't you go and use this as your hair removal? Oh, so that nobody eats that, but it does have it at solace. That's what we call chametz noiksha, which again you're chayiv on only a lav, and you're not chayiv kars. Frank Dimar Eni, you're telling me the second shot about the tipun shalachem shel benoy saniyim. But on Reb Chiya, arba mina medina ushloisha mina umnos. When Reb Chiya was learning in his brisa the seven that we enumerated our mishnah, the first four he said are bnei medina, which means everybody in the country uses them. Shloisha, the last three are only used by umnos, because the first four are foods or beverages, everybody uses those. The last three are used either by the dyers, or by the fancy cooks, or by the shoemakers, or by the sofrim, the scribes, so therefore they are b'nei umnos. The amris, tipulin shel b'nei sashirim, my b'nei umnos, all the young women from the homes that are wealthy, they all use this. Is it also minei medina, not b'nei umnos? So you say, okay, so forget about the second shot, let's go back to the first shot. Prove the ushkafi that this is used by the shoemakers. Shouldn't it say in the Mishnah that this was a paste that was used by the Ratzon? Ratzon means people that worked in the leather goods business. And that's how the people make shoes from leather. Years ago, they used to make shoes from leather. Can you imagine? Today, they make it from plastic. Who knows? Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara, Sidi Gemara says, why does it say Prura? Why does it say Koilim Shel Safran? Let it go and say Koilim Shel Ushkafi or Shel Ratzon. Not only is this used by the Ratzonim, meaning by the leather makers and the shoemakers, but also by the Sofrim that had pieces of Niyar. Niyar, today we say is paper, but that time was papyrus. If they wanted to keep the papyrus papers together, then they would go and put on this glue and make, I guess, maybe a notebook out of it or make a scroll out of it. And that's why it was called Kodin Shel Sofrim, but it's the same paste that was used, in fact, by the shoemaker's Ratzon. Okay, Reb Lezer Oim after Chshita Noshim. Reb Lezer adds one more category. Faith more Chshita Noshim, so Kedaitach, cosmetics. So the last Rashi on the bottom says cosmetics were never made out of chomet, kechal usrak. See the last Rashi, kechal usrak means like eyeshadow, it means like rouge that the women put on their faces, ubsamim, or perfume, shetoyt b'tavrein, that we put around their necks, etc. My chomets, no chomets there. So if there's no chomets there, so what's the issue? What's the issue? What's the problem? Says Yimara, Ella Eima, you're right, don't talk about Tachlisha, but talk about Tipula Nashim. And now we get back again to these defamatories. The Omer of Yudah Omer Rav, Benoiz Yisrael, Shigil Lepirkan, Vleigil Leshan. What happens if you had young girls that at the age of 10 or 11, they're not bas mitzvah yet, they're only 10 or 11. And guess what? And they started forming hairs on their body. Oh, they're so embarrassed because, like all women today, every woman that's 85 years old wants people to think that she's 49 years old. So you have these girls that are 10 or 11 and they already have hair. People think that they're ready bas mitzvah. I'm not 12 yet, I'm only 8, I'm only 10. So what do? They had to remove the hair. So what do? They would go and put on lime to remove the hair. Sorry?
No problem.
Oh, that's the soilus. That's the problem that we're talking about in our Mishnah. The soilus that they would put in fine flour. They use Shemen Amor. How do I know? We see from Esther Malka, Shemar, Shishachadosh, Shemen Amor, Shishachadosh, etc. Like we lay in the Megillah. My Shemen Amor. Sorry?
No, just thinking of the Megillah.
Okay, no problem. Mitchum soon will be Purim around the corner.
Yeah, I think how you lay in a bag here.
Exactly. My Shemin Amor, what is Shemin Amor? Avunu Bar Irmiya Oimer Stakis. What is exactly Stakis? Do you know what Stakis is? A rear Rashi. Rashi says, Lo Yisparish. Rashi, the last line of the wide lines onto the first narrow line, Stakis Lo Yisparish. Rashi says, doesn't know. Now, what is special about that Rashi is, in my Gemara, I have a Ches. The Ches takes you to the Masoret Shas. He says, "Ubemenoches pirishashi jekoyim balisma or balsam." Remember, you had Reb Shlomo told us before about balsamic vinegar. Now we have the balsam, the shemen amar. Why Rashi over here says leisparish, and why over here says balsam? Chbeisnish. Avazoyshtait.
You saw the menoches here like 4 or 5 years, and Rashi learning the Seder Daf Yomi. By that point, he figured it out.
Exactly. Could be exactly. Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Omer shemen zayis lo hivishlish. This is shemen zayis that didn't even get to a third. In other words, they harvested the zeis and the olives when they were still very, very young, only less than a third. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, Omer and Fiknin shemen zayis lo hivishlish. What is this Tanya Rabbi Yehuda? So this is a Gemara really that's borrowed from the Sechtes Menachos. What it says over there that when they used to go and pour in shemen into the Menachos, you're not allowed to use anfiknin. So everybody asks, my anfiknin? Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, Omer anfiknin the shemen zayis lo hivishlish. And this is the same as that shemen amor that we just talked about. And why do the girls use that? Number one, Menisha Meshus Aser, it removes the unwanted hair. Madis Abasa, and meat makes the basa nice and smooth, like a nice soft cream, like they use today, and therefore, that's why they use it. So this is another shot. So now this is what Reb Lezer added. Now there's one little problem over here. The problem is, previously, Rav Simi Mechoiznoa said that the Koyman Shel Sofrim, that happens to be the Tipulon, that is this hair depilatory agent. And now Reb Lezer says, it's the same, the Bnei Yisrael, the girls, used to the Tipulei Noshim. So isn't this kind of repetitive? It's okay, so it's not Koyman Shel Sofrim, so now Reb Lezer says, okay, you know what, it's the Tachshite Noshim. What was Reb Simi Mechoiznoa thinking?
Right.
He said that Koyman Shel Sofrim, that's the Tipulei Noshim. But that's Reb Lezer's thing. So see, Morataka was doicha the pshat of Reb Simi Mechoiznoa, because if that was the case, then it should be Mine Medina, not Mine Umnes. Okay, but besides that, obviously, we're not talking about a machloikis and the Mishnah, where both the Tanakhama says, Koilin Shel Sofrim, which means this hair depilatory, and then we have Reb Lezer that says, Afach Shitanoshim, another pshat in hair depilatory. You know, make up your mind what's going on. Toysi Riyas is Kasha, and other Rishonim ask the Kasha as well. There are a number of Tirutzim. The Baal Hamor says that Reb Lezer is adding a new category. What's the new category? Until now, the Tanakhama was speaking about either Chometz Betaruvis, that's a mixture where the chametz is just one component, one ingredient, or chametz noiksha. Chametz noiksha is a very inferior form of chametz. Reb Lezer says, I'm going to add another category, which is a blend. Even chametz noiksha, which is v'taruvis. If I have chametz noiksha, which is mixed in with other ingredients, and you made aganza zachar of it, oh, even that is also considered to be osir, and that's why you go and get for it the Malkus and Amishnah, Tazhora and Nishka Kars. So where do we see that? Because notice, Reb Simcha Yisnoah said, it's Tipulan Shobnois Ashirim, Shemeshairis Oisei Lebnois Aniyim. Why didn't we just simply say, Tipulan Shobnois Ashirim? Why does it have to talk about that there was something left over for the Benois Aniyim? Because the pshat is that the Benois Ashirim, they would not only use the solas, like the Gemara said on the top, but they would add to it some other chemicals and some other acids or whatever before they would go and put it on their bodies. So the Tanakhama says, no. We're talking about the ones of Benois Ashirim that they would leave for Benois Aniyim. What would the Benois Aniyim do with that soilus? They didn't have enough money to buy the fancy schmancy chemicals to put in. But since I already had some soilus, they would add some more soilus. So the paste that they used was a very pure form of chametz noiksha. It's not the type of thing that we would go and eat. It's the type of thing that you use to go and remove the hair. So therefore it's chametz noiksha. And that's why it's in the second category of the Tanakam. Reb Lezer says, no, not only that, but even if you have that same depilatory, and it wasn't the ones that the Ashirim left the Benois Aniyim, but the ones that Ashirim used for themselves, which they mixed with a whole bunch of chemicals and other things, which therefore it's not only chametz noiksha, but also happens to be v'taruvis, even that the Chachamim, and that's therefore the chiddush of the Reb Lezer over the Tanakam.
So isn't it's not really like this kelev? How does that play in here? I mean, it feels like these things are we haven't had that yet.
We have not. Nowadays, they refer to chametz noiksha as being, for instance, detergents. Most of our detergents today are all synthetics. They're artificial. But those detergents of yesteryear, which did have a grain component to them, so that was chametz noiksha. Nobody eats it. You cannot eat it, but it has chametz in it. Anyway, but that about the dogs, we're going to talk about another few lines of Mitzvah. We're going to talk about giving chametz noiksha to a calf. Shlomi, you have something to say?
Cleaning and cosmetics, you have the soaps and the shampoos. They use alcohol derivatives, they use wheat germ, they use lecithin, they use all kinds of...
That is today. That is today. Apparently in the times of Chazal this didn't exist, because Rashi says, my chametz ikka, what chametz do you if I have in perfumes? Today you're right, and that's why today you can go and get a full line of kosher perfumes and kosher cosmetics and all the rest. But at times of Chazal apparently it didn't make sense, they didn't know how to process it, or it didn't make sense financially, they just didn't do it.
And Reb Lezer again is that even though it didn't,
even though it's double, it's chametz noiksha, which is also taruvis.
Yeah.
So it has two strikes against it. Nevertheless, it's still osir mitzad ashora. It's allowed, although there's no curse. In other words, presumably, according to the Baal Hamor, according to Tanakhama, this is so low on the totem pole, you wouldn't even get a laugh for this because it's not edible and it's a mixture. So gush. That's the way Baal Hamor learns. So Tosfos got to learn a little differently. Other Mefarshim also learn differently. Anyway, getting back to the Mazakal Koshumi Mindogon Tanyom Rabbi Yeshua. It said at the end of the Mishnah, this is the general rule. It's such an easy rule that anything which has dogon base, but either it's taruvis or it's chametz noiksha, then there's only a din of a lav. So why do we have to enumerate the different things from modai and from edoim and from mitzri? Who cares? So people should be rogel, they should know their names. Why it's so important to know the names? The Gemara tells us a real life story. Ki ho dahu bar marava, person who married Yisrael. Ikla bavel, came to bavel. Have a bisra bahadei, he brought along with himself some meat. And he's now eating in the inn, he's eating in the hotel, whatever, and apparently people could bring in their own food. And Omalu, when he asked the waiter, could you do me a favor? Krivli matchilta. Matchilta, says Rashi, means some sort of dip or relish. I want some ketchup, I want some mustard. Exactly, some condiment to eat together with the meat. Oh, so waiter, sure, no problem. Sure, I'll get it for you right away. Shomadika Amri, and then he heard how one waiter was talking to the other one. Krivli kutach. Go and bring him that famous kutach dip. That's delicious.
It's nothing.
Kim the Shama Kutach, as soon as the guest heard it was Kutach, Pirish, he said, get me out of here. I see over here that this is Milchik. No. The Pirish doesn't necessarily mean that he left the restaurant. It means that he said, stop, don't bring me the Kutach. Now, why did he bring the Kutach? Because he knew from our Mishnah, since he learned the Daf, and he knew that Kutach is a Milchik dip. He said, oh, Milchik, I'm eating fleishiks, I can't go and eat it. But if you wouldn't tell us our Mishnah, he wouldn't know all about this Kutach Abab. He would think Kutach is just, you know, a different
it's
form
parf,
of...
It's parf.
It's parf, exactly. Maybe it's fleishiks. Good. You think it's soy sauce. Hari Elu Bazar, all those we have, the Mishnah are Azara, Man Tana, who's the Tana of our Mishnah? The Chometz Dogon Gomer Al Yidei Taruvis. Those are the first four. It was Dogon Gomer, but it was mixed in Taruvis. Or Chometz Noiksha, that's the inferior type of Chometz, those are the last three. Be'ene, but that's Be'en, that's not a Taruvis. That you see the Chometz, when you have the depilatory, you see it in front of you. This is soilless, I can tell that this happens to be flour. But it's, I'm not going to eat from this flour. Just stay away from it. It's Chomis Moshe. Anyway, who's the one that says that these two are Belav and not Bekoris? So we have now two possible Pshotim. Who's the Tana of our Mishnah? We start off with Rav Yehuda, and then we're going to have shortly Rav Nachman. So Rav Yehuda Merav says, I'll tell you who the Tana is. It's Rav Meiri, the Sanya that we have in a Braisa. Sior Yisorev, the Noisnoi Lechalboi, Vo'ichle Be'arboim. What exactly is Siar? Siar is not to be confused with Sa'ar, sourdough. Siar instead is your regular batter, which is beginning to ferment or to leaven. Now, there's a machloikis in the Mishnah on Memches, that you will see in another few days. Rashi quotes it at length over here. Machloikis between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. What's the definition of Siar that the leavening process is beginning? According to Reb Meir, as long as it's hichsifu panav means that the batter is now getting a very pale face to it. It's pale by comparison to the way it was before. It's getting very, very pale. Oh, that's a simen that it's starting to leaven. That's according to Reb Meir. Reb Yehuda says, I disagree wholeheartedly. That has it could be full-fledged matzah. When will it have the din of beginning to lahachmitz? Only when it develops small little cracks. And the Gemara calls that karne chagoven. Karne chagoven means like the little, doesn't really mean horns, like the antenna of chagoven, of grasshoppers. If you ever saw a grasshopper, if you haven't, then look for it in a museum. But if you see one, try to catch it, and then you'll see that little antenna and their heads, and so therefore that's what these small little cracks in the batter look like. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that's the definition of CR, the beginning of that leavening process. It's much like between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the chsifu panav of Rabbi Meir is gunished. The fact that it's now a little bit light or pale colored, that's absolutely nothing. It could still be full-fledged matzah that you could eat at the Seder night. On the other hand, Reb Meir says, it really has cracks. That's chometz gomor that you're not allowed to even look at. You can't eat from it. It would have a din of chometz noiksha. It's not full-fledged chometz yet. It's, if you leave it in that form, it's not really edible, but it's inferior form of chometz. It's started to last. Okay.
So there's a time period between the pale color and the kind of chagavim.
Absolutely.
And there's a short period of time. That's the machlokas between what?
Okay. Exactly right. And we're going to focus on that more in the Mishnah on Daf Memchas. This time, you see her. What happens if you have Siar? You sort of burn it. You're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to have a no. Get rid of it. You burn it. And then the price says, no, it's a but if you want, you can go and give it to your caliph to eat. And the Gemara is going to ask in another moment, make up your mind. If you can give it to the caliph, why are you burning it? If you have to burn it, how can you give it to your caliph? The Gemara is going to ask him. V'oichlan, if you eat from it, arboim, you go and get 40 pets. You get malchus. Frank Timora, hagufa kasha. It's internally inconsistent. Ah, Amris Sior Yisarif. You're telling me, sir, you have to go and burn. It's one or the other. It can't be both. Says Yimar Hachi Kamer. Shan the Bryce says, Sior Yisarif. When do you have to burn Sior? Each one Lishitosai. To Rameir, Lirameir. Rameir Sior of the Chsifu Panav when it's pale faced. Oh, it's Chametz. Burn it immediately. Rabbi Huda, respectively, he holds, no, not at the Chsifu Panav, but when it gets Kikarne Chagovin, these small little cracks, now is the time you go and burn it immediately. Okay, so that, everybody agrees, Yisarev, each one Lishitosai. V'noislevne Kalboy, and you can go and give that batter, which is starting, which is called Siar, you can give it to your dog. When is that? Says Yimar, the Remeir, according to Rabbi Huda. If the entire batter has only gotten to the point of it being pale, but it has not gotten to the point of karni chagom. According to Yehuda, this is not chometz yet, so you can even go, you can not only mutter b'achilu, mutter b'no, you can go and give it to the dogs, no problem. But if you eat it barboil, now obviously that's not according to Yehuda. Yehuda said it's mutter, at the skon la Rameyer is the one that holds that this is already chometz noiksha, it's not full blown chometz, you didn't go and bake it yet, but the fact that it already is pale-faced, that's already enough for Chavetz Noiksha, and boom, Oichloi Barboim, you get the 40 Malkus. Ah, Shomin Lei, what do we hear? We see from this Braisa that Rabbi Meir holds Noiksha Be'enei. Noiksha means that you see it Be'en, but it's inferior. You have the batter in front of you, it's pale-faced, but it's not really edible yet, because it hasn't risen, you haven't baked it. Noiksha be'enai has a din of a lav. Lav meaning a din of malchus, no kars. Ve'kolishkein, avad, if you have chometz, dog and gomur, if you have real bona fide chometz, that you mixed into other ingredients, ayudei teruvis, then that's certainly going to be osir b'lav. So, Remeir only commented on noiksha, but Rav Yehuda understands Remeir to mean madach noiksha, which is so inferior. Certainly, dog and gomor ayidei teruvis, that will certainly have a din of a lav. Or Rav Nachman says the other way around. Rav Nachman omar Reblezi, the Mishnah is Reblezi, the sign. Al chometz dog and gomor onish karis. Now we know regular chometz is onish karis. Al eruva, if there's a teruvis, belav divrei Reblezi. Oh, that's our Reblezi. Taruv is chametz is belav. The chomaimim al chametz dog gum on ishkaris al aruvim bloy klov. If it's taruv is chametz, it's zero. It's goodish. Okay. Vishamin liter blazer. So the blazer only comments on chametz dogon gomer al yedei taruv is belav. Says now Rav Nachman and Kolshkein noiksha, which is be'an. You actually see it with your own eyes. You see the grain. You see the kemach. You see the flour. Chavad. So therefore, we have now two possible candidates as the Tana of our Mishnah. According to Rav Yehuda, it's Rav Meir. According to Rav Nachman, it's Rav Lezer. Both, the common denominator on both of them is that both Rav Meir and Rav Lezer only expressed their views on one of the two categories of our Mishnah. Rav Meir only expressed his views on the Chometz Noiksha. Rav Lezer only said his view, expressed his view on the Chometz B'Taruvus. What is the machlokes therefore between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman? Which is the lighter form and which is the more chomer form? According to Rav Yehuda, noiksha is such an inferior type of chometz. If that's belav, then certainly if I have real live mamish dikka chometz, it's takim b'teruvis. You're right. I don't see it bad, but that certainly is going to be belav at the very, very least. What Rav Nachman says the other way around, that Rav Lezer holds that if you have chometz b'teruvis, I don't see the chometz. It's mixed into, for instance, the liquor. I know that there's a lot of chametz there because I saw my own eyes. They poured in all this barley water. I know for sure that it's chametz dik, but I don't see it. If that is a din of a lav, certainly chametz noiksha, which is be'en, that will certainly be oiver b'lav. Why Rav Nachman subscribed to Yehuda's view? Maybe Rav Meir only held when you see the chametz be'en, you see with your own eyes. It's inferior, but it's chametz. You don't see any chametz, you only go and see the liquid. I don't see any chametz, maybe that's okay. Rabbi Yehuda, my time, the of Nachman, Amalachat Kamli, Kamar Rabbi Lezer Hossam, Elachomets, Dog and Gomer, De Taruvis, where it's actually mixed. Real, live Dog and Gomer. Avonoik Shaban, lie. Noik Shaban, so inferior. Detergent, does anybody eat detergent? Maybe the dogs are
actually, there's a thing now, stupid kids eat detergent, actually, believe it or not. It's a hazard. They
and that's Chomets Noik Shaban.
Right. That's detergent pods, there's this thing last year.
You know, there are a lot of crazy things going on. Loyama, fine. Who's right and who's wrong? Tanika was Rabbi Yehuda, Abrei Yiraya, like Rabbi Yehuda, that the Pshat and our Mishnah, it goes according to Rabbi Meir and not according to Rabbi Lezer. It says in the Pasuk called Mechmetzet Lo Yisichaylu, says, Imar le Rabbi Yizkuta Chabavli, V'sheich Ramodei, V'choy Mitzu Adoymi, V'zei Yisem HaMitzri. Notice he mentioned, he enumerates the first four of our Mishnah. Right. Those are the Teruvis cases. He doesn't mention Chometz Noikish at all, not the last three. Okay, it says, so I would think there's a din of karis. Tamaloyme, he call oichel chametz v'nechresa al chametz dogen gomer onish karis. But if you have teruvis, it's only belav. That's the word machmetzes. That it's not chomet. It has a mem and a tof at the end. It's mixed with other ingredients. It's that mixture of chomet. Don't eat it, but it's only belav. Okay, Suzuki Mariat Mancha must like Yomal Ruvi Balav. Who's the one that holds on to Ruvis Chomet is Balav? That's Reb Lezer he. That's Reb Lezer. That's the second bride, so that's what Reb Nachman brought. Aha. Now why does he only mention these four? Why did he mention the Noiksha as well? Is the Chasim and Shema Mina Noiksha Reb Lezer less that he doesn't hold of Chomet's Noiksha? He only holds of the four. And therefore, that's the reason why I cannot learn like Rav Nachman. Because Rav Nachman said that I know that Reb Lezer holds Teruvis and Koshkein Chomet's Noiksha. No, so why didn't he bring the Chomet's Noiksha over here? Because the Brayis is telling you, Rav Nachman, you're wrong. Chomet's Noiksha, you're not Oiver. You're only Oiver on the four of Teruvis Chomet. So who's the Tan of our mission that told you Chayiv and both? Musaf San Rav Meir. By default, it's Rav Meir. Fine. Feiti Mariet. Reb Lezer, a Ruvay Bala. So we've now concluded our shtickle. We now have determined that the Mishnah is Reb Meir and it's not Reb Lezer. Frankly, Mark. Reb Lezer, a Ruvay Balav, Minole. How does he know Teruvis Chomets Balav? Like we just said, Dechsev, Kol Machmetzes, Lo Yisechel. That was the Braisa, that was the Pasuk that he brought. Why don't you say he's chayv koris as well? Why, Doc? So I have another pasuk. Ki kol oichel machmetzes v'nechresa. The same word machmetzes. If you're telling me machmetzes means those teruvis chometz things, okay, here too means the teruvis chometz should be a din of koris. Good, my wee boy, Lady Kasanya. No, that pasuk I learned a different drasha from. What does that pasuk come to tell you? Not the case of the teruvis chometz, but rather it's talking about a different type of leavening or rising of the chametz. The kiddushanya, umgalent inli elos machmetzes inli elish neschametz me elof machmetz dover achem inayin. I only know machmetzes if you have your normal regular chametz. How did it become chametz? Either did you put in the se'or, you put in the sourdough, or you just let it stand for more than 18 minutes. You left it for an extended period of time. And eventually it fermented and it began to rise, began to leaven. How is machmas over achiminai? What happens if you put in another agent inside? Tosis back in Daf Chavches said, for instance, if you put in wine dregs, wine sediment, which also have a certain fermentation to them, what happens if that's what causes? Presumably the same thing would apply to modern day yeast, which I understand is not related to sourdough. If you put the yeast in, that also causes to rise. How do you know that that too has a din of chametz? Tamaloy mekol machmetzes v'nichrosa. If you ate bread, challah, etc., that rose not as a result of sourdough, but as a result of dover acher, that's the pasuk of the machmetzes v'nichros, you get karis. Aha! So why did you say that the first machmetzes is not referring to the teruvis chomet, that is referring also to chomet shenis chomet ayidei dover acher. So you're right. It's not for the word machmetzes, it's from the word kol. So what? That in the second pasuk it says kol machmetzes. What's the lashon of pasuk? Ki kol. From that word kol, that comes to me marbe the case of the nischamet machmas dover acher. Right, Mar Sinami, Oksiv Kol. Go back to the first posse too. Kol Machmetis Lo Yisei Chelu. Say that that Kol comes to go and tell you not the din of the Taru Mishamet, but the Kol is coming to tell you our case over here of Mishamet Ayidei Dover Acher. Tumahumi Boyle Lerabis is Hanoshim. That Kol I need for a different purpose. Ki Kol Oichel Machmetis, that Kol comes to tell you the din of Noshim, that what Noshim are also Mechuyiv in the Isser of Chomet. For tomorrow, whoa, I need a pasuk for that. Noshim and Yudah Merav Nafke, the Yomer of Yudah Merav, Chitan Veri Bishmol Amakra. Isha Isha Yas Mikol Chatas Onim Shekos Ishlim Lechol Oin Sheba Toira. Women are mechuyim in Kol Atira Kula, just like men. The only exception, of course, is Mitzvah Asay Shazman Grama. There's not a Mitzvah Asay. There's a Mitzvah Loisa Asay. Don't eat chametz. So women are mechuyim. I need a call to Taira. Tomorrow, yes. It's so good. I mean, I would have thought. Holy Luke, we have the same posik. We brought this posik already before. That in the same posik says, how do the two come together? I would say, only those individuals who have the mitzvahs asei shazman groma to eat matzah, yesh lebal toichal chomet, they have the isser of eating chomet. But these women, they don't have the din of eating matzah. They have the mitzvahs asei shazman groma. So maybe they should be potem babal toichal chomet as well. Namilasnu. Maybe they're allowed to on Yom Tov on Pesach. They don't have to eat matzah and they're allowed to eat chomet. So I would have thought. Kamash malon. That's why they call. Oichel chametz comes to include women as well, but says the Gemara, but you told me that they don't have to eat matzah. V'hash v'srablu b'mekot b'bal toichel chametz is rabbi nam lechilas matzah. Now we're going to go and reverse the pasuk and say, now that we see from the kol that women are mechuyev to eat matzah. That women are also to go and eat chametz. They're also going to have a mitzvah to eat matzah. Kira blos, the Amra blos. Which now includes women because of the kol. So why do we stop over here at Baisai? And bottom line is, we have concluded that we have one kol to go and tell you the din of the Taruvis chametz, and the other kol from the other pasuk, ki kol oichel machmatzes, the nichrasa. That's not talking about the taruvis, because the taruvis is only a din of a lav. Kol machmatzes leisachelu, the four taruvis in, that's a din of a lav. I have another ki kol oichel chametz. That's not coming to tell you the din of the taruvis chametz. That's coming to tell you the din of women. That women also have the same din. Of course, the Gemara is going to ask in the continuation of the Gemara, why do we say one is taruvis and why are women? Why maybe we should switch it? That's going to be continued.
We're saying that the isser of the mitzvah of eating matzahs on Seder night for women is coming from the. Recapitulate the thread again, please.
Under normal circumstances, women should be potter from eating matzah on Pesach on Seder night because the mitzvah says she's mangra. But since I have a posik, lo yisoichel olav chametz, don't eat chametz. Shivas yom teichel olav matzahs, but do eat matzahs. Okay, who are the people that are not allowed to eat chametz? Not only men, but also women. Why are women included? Because they have a pasuk of kol. So once women are included in the first part of the pasuk, then I say shivas yom teichel olav matzahs. Those same men and women that are not allowed to eat chametz, they have the mitzvah of going eating matzah.
But the eating of matzahs mitzvah on Seder is be'erev teichel matzahs.
You asked that question about a week ago.
Yeah.
This pasuk Shivas Yom Teichel Matzis is referring to Seder night. It says Shivas Yom, because the pasuk Teichel Matzis Lechem Oini. At the same time of Seder night, you go and
thank you.
The rest of Yom Tov, it's not mandatory. It's a reshus, and according to the Gra, it's a mitzvah kiyumis, not a mitzvah chiyumis. But this is the pasuk that we learn from the din of eating matzah on Seder night. Besides the pasuk Be'erev Teichel Matzis. Okay, any other questions on my side? Hearing none, have a wonderful day in Zagabed, to Zagazim. We'll continue mission from here tomorrow morning at around 7:50, 7:55. Kol Tov.